Again, Ms. Linshall, thank you all for joining the presentation this afternoon. And I have no relationships to disclose. And it's a little bit of background on our organization. We're the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. So we support the heads of state health departments in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and 8 territories, and also their leadership staff across the organization. And we also are supported by 20 affiliate organizations who represent a range of more specific disease areas and issues, for example, HIV/AIDS, maternal and child health, and epidemiology, for example. Okay. And a little bit of background on the project. With support from the United Health Foundation, we convened a 5-state learning collaborative providing funding to 5 state health departments. And also, they received capacity building assistance. We refer to the funding as more SPARK funding, not a lot in the scheme of things at a health department, but a little bit to help leverage existing opportunities and expand those across the state. And the United Health Foundation publishes the America's Health Rankings report each year. Actually, in December will be their 25th anniversary report will be published. So based on that, the goals were for the states to improve their United Health Foundation America's Health Rankings by reducing rates of diabetes, obesity, infant mortality, and or smoking. They chose one or two of those in their application to work on over the course of the year. But then also recognizing that can't just focus on content areas in that it's a systematic approach. So also focused on their public health system and how to improve that as well. And a little bit about the theory behind the Learning Collaborative. We use the Institute for Healthcare Improvement's Plan, Do, Study, Act cycles for rapid change. As you know, in public health, sometimes it can take a long time to see change. Sometimes that's good, sometimes not so good. So within this Learning Collaborative, we practiced eliciting quick changes through the PDSA cycle. So if, as they tried something out, it didn't work, we encouraged them to study it, what would work better next time, and that kind of thing. And as I said, the study period was about a year, May 2013 to May 2014. And I'll go a little bit more. And so prior to starting the Learning Collaborative, we conducted multi-level case studies. So we talked to state health leadership, state, community, and local health leadership across the state, and also conducted a literature review to find some of the common themes within the state public health system that really attribute to success. And so the states that we interviewed were those who had been successful in improving their America's health rankings and improving their ranking over the course of the past 5 to 10 years. So that's how we selected the states that we interviewed. And based on that and the literature review, found some themes, which are probably not a huge surprise, I'll go through them briefly. Leadership and vision. So from our perspective, the state health official, the governor, do they have the support and that they need to promote changes in their state? Also, communication across sectors. So the community knows what the state is doing, the state knows the vision, and that kind of thing. Also, data and accountability. First of all, does the data exist? And then second of all, if they have it, are they using it, and is it useful? Then also stakeholders, the importance of really engaging stakeholders, not just throwing out a list of partners, but really engaging them. And again, the communication piece for everybody being on the same page and understanding what each is doing. And then at the beginning of each of the process, it's just making sure that the practice or policy that you're implementing is evidence-based, or at least a promising practice. We don't mean this in the strictly defined, because we know that in a lot of ways that evidence-based can take a very long time to develop and get approval for, but at least evidence-based and promising practices that folks are implementing. And then recognizing that to reach the outcome that they're going for, so each state was trying to improve their health system, improve their health ranking. To do that, all 4 of these pieces need to be addressed through the course of the Learning Collaborative. And if one of those isn't there, it'll be much, much harder to reach the outcome that you're going for. And then as far as the structure of the Learning Collaborative, we had a combination of virtual and in-person meetings. And at the beginning of the Learning Collaborative, we actually gave each state a needs assessment that touched on these 4 areas to sort of see where they are, were they thinking about those things. It's not a tool that's ready for publication or widespread dissemination. It's really more of a communication tool for states to sort of make sure that they're looking at those things and identify where there might be gaps and opportunities for improvement. So I will actually go into the states. The first state, well, alphabetically, the first state was Arkansas, and their goal was to reduce gestational diabetes among Latinas in their state. And they focused on Text for Baby in particular, and they actually have a very they had been using Text for Baby for years, but wanted to expand its use across the state. So to do that, they enhanced partnerships specifically with their local health units and their community health workers, and so expanded the folks teaching potential mothers and Latinas about Text for Baby, and also distributing DVDs and surveys before and after the DVDs to assess knowledge. So based on their tests, they did see an increase in postpartum visits as well as overall knowledge of gestational diabetes and the risk factors for it. And Georgia? Georgia's focus was reducing infant mortality and other conditions by increasing healthcare access. There's just one where they started with infant mortality because it was one of the disease areas, but as they developed the telehealth network, more and more interest arose around other disease areas like teledentistry and HIV/AIDS, and since the structures were there, there was no reason to just keep it focused on infant mortality. But it really expanded to healthcare access. And actually, prior to the Learning Collaborative, this has always been a priority of the state health official and the leadership in the state. And so they already had the telemedicine carts, cart systems. They had 18 of them, just hadn't really rolled them out yet. So leveraged this funding and opportunity to roll them out across the state. And after the Learning Collaborative had telehealth capability in all 159 counties and had deployed 8 of the 18 telemedicine carts by May, and are hoping to have all of them then disseminated or rolled out across the state by December. And so on average, with about half, they were seeing 160 patients per month via telemedicine statewide. In relation to communication, one of the things they found is that a lot of their partners across the state didn't even know that this existed as an option for them to use as physicians or for them at the more community level as patients. So they developed a marketing plan that they rolled out across the state to really communicate what was available and the successes of the system. And then also were able to secure over $1 million in grant funding to sustain the telemedicine program after the United Health Foundation funding ended. And in Kansas, this was part of a larger governor's initiative to reduce diabetes and obesity through the development of a physical activity champion network. And it's a network of, over the course of the Learning Collaborative, they wanted to have a physical activity champion in every county in Kansas. And by May, they had a network of 116 physical activity champions representing 63 counties of one tribe, which is a little over half of the counties in Kansas. And the physical activity champions, their role is to promote strategies and initiatives at the local level. So with that piece of communicating what the evidence-based practices are out there and promoting them across the state. And then they also utilize the physical activity champions to collect data on active transport and shared use agreements that existed in that county. They realized that this is something as a health department they didn't really have a good grasp on. So wanted to understand where those gaps and opportunities may be. So they figured best way to start is at really that local community level and did use that data to identify areas where they needed to sort of beef up their active transport initiatives, particularly for children getting to and from school and safe places to exercise and play and that kind of thing. And so, again, they use this sort of as spark money and have since secured a 2-year healthy living grant from the Kansas Health Foundation to expand their work on specifically active school transport. And then in Oklahoma, they actually had sort of they turned this project into multiple projects. So they worked on reducing obesity and smoking among state employees, as sort of one branch, and then also among behavioral health consumers as another branch. They utilized, for the state health employees, the Department of Public Health actually provided funding to the Department of Tourism, Parks and Tourism, and also the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services to take the health lead assessment, which is a workplace wellness assessment that identifies areas where your employees are doing well and being healthy, and then areas where that may need to be improved, such as eating more fruits and vegetables, exercising more, having access to exercise facilities at the workplace, and that kind of thing. And so in doing the health lead assessment, they identify definite gaps where they can improve their worksite wellness, but they also identified gaps in data where they just didn't, their baseline was zero because the data didn't exist. So they worked with their employees group insurance division, which is where the data is housed within the structure, to determine ways to incorporate this data collection into the structure of the full state agency. And then they also are in preliminary talks on how to then incentivize employees who are doing well. Once they get the data piece ironed out, then they'll actually have the opportunity to incentivize employees who are leading healthier lives. And then within the other project, for behavioral health consumers, they're just recognizing the disparities in health outcomes for those with behavioral and mental health issues, provided funding to the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services to work with initially one of their funded clinics. Previously none of them had been doing this, so one is an improvement, to screen and refer for primary care, nutrition, and physical activity at community mental health sites. So increased to 1 to 4, and now we're hoping to expand to all of the community mental health centers across the state. And so potential impact is there. 200 state agencies in Oklahoma with over 35,000 state employees and approximately 7 million visitors to state parks each year, and then 187,000 behavioral health consumers who go through their funded clinics. So hoping that the state employees can model good behavior and then with the behavioral health consumer level, roll it out to clinics across the state so more people can be reached. Then finally, Rhode Island, their focus was reducing obesity and smoking through the refinement of their central referral system. And this is a system they've had in place for a while. It's a great link for physicians to use to link their patients to community health resources that are evidence-based, so to YMCA or enhanced fitness, various classes, and smoking cessation services that exist throughout the state. It's sort of a one-stop shop for that. And also, once the patient is linked to that, they're linked to a patient navigator who can help them receive the services, follow up with them if they have questions, anything like that. But they found that it really wasn't being utilized to its capacity across the state. So they used this opportunity to work with 4 clinics in the state to figure out what's going wrong, why aren't physicians using this. So worked with those 4 clinics and found just initially that they had various forms they were giving physicians about the services that they could provide, one for the central referral system, one for Quitline, one for another. So they integrated those various forms into one form so that it was easier for physicians to refer patients. Another thing is as far as how physicians should tell their patients about the central referral system. One of the things they tried, which again, PDSA cycles, there's room for mistakes. So they tried the paper prescription pads, giving them to physicians, and then the prescription would be go join the central referral system and follow up with your patient navigator. But found that really didn't work, since so much of prescriptions are done now over faxing or through the internet. Patients are looked at the paper like, what is this? So went back to the drawing board and started on something else to really increase physician and patient utilization of central referral system. And again, starting out with 4 clinics, but hoping to, now the system is being refined, roll it out to the patient-centered medical homes throughout the state, which represents about 25% of Rhode Island's population. And then lessons learned in doing a learning collaborative in this way, so using PDSA cycles and the more systems-level approach that's content-oriented, but also encouraging folks to always think about communication, data, leadership and vision, that kind of thing. Some lessons learned, just using PDSA cycles we found was effective toward the end. States were really embracing it and liking that opportunity to make mistakes and refine as necessary, but at the beginning we're more uncomfortable with it. So definitely a lesson learned is to provide training to all of the partners involved in the project across across the state to make sure that everybody is comfortable with PDSA cycles and what that means for your project. Also, leadership and buy-in and communication were key. No surprise there, since it is one of the tenets, but just there, that was really reinforced in working with all of the states. Also, bringing all the state team partners into the process, the sooner the better. With each state team, we held an initial meeting within each state and encouraged them to bring any and all potential stakeholders who they would be working with over the course of the year. A few states who were unable to bring partners who they ended up engaging with later said that they really thought that was a missed opportunity and in the future would be sure to bring just anybody who could possibly be involved, because onboarding later or making someone feel like they weren't involved initially caused some angst and anxiety. So just bring them in the earlier the better. Also, some initiatives are easier to measure than other initiatives, especially, in systems change, sometimes that can be tough. It's not always just the number of patients reached. It's really that sort of communication and partnership. So evaluation may be a partner diagram as opposed to the more rigid pre and post survey or something like that. So just something on our end and on the state's end to learn is just discussing those measures of success at the beginning, right before the even project starts, to figure out what makes the most sense and what is feasible, and also understanding the many conflicting priorities at organizations and state health departments, the amount of resources that go into evaluation, so making sure that that's balanced with what you're giving them and what you're expecting of them. And then also the project evolution, state team flexibility piece. Like I said, with PDSA cycles, there is room for if you make mistakes, you can then refine what you're doing, which means you may not end up doing exactly what you said you were going to do in your application. And different folks had different levels of comfort with that. So lesson learned for us is just to be more more clear in that what you put in your application is definitely the foundation of what you'll be working on. But if through the process you find it's not working or that's not a good use of your time or funding, then to be flexible enough to change and try something new. Just a few. And that is it. So these are just a few of the states that we worked with. As you can see, the physical activity champion in Kansas, so we're doing jumping jacks and running around. State team meeting in Oklahoma, and the one up there is Georgia demonstrating their telehealth cart and system. And are there any questions before we move to the next presenter?
So can you give
examples of some of the ways that it was most beneficial to you in the learning collaborative as opposed to just direct TA? Mm-hmm. As a separate, yeah. And that's a good question, because it was tough because they were doing such different projects with different content areas. But we did find by focusing on the more systems level presentation. So we also, in addition to the in-person meetings and virtual meetings, we would have them focus then their presentations on data, for example. So each state present on data and what you're learning, what you're needing, what would be helpful. Also some of the partnership building strategies, that was something that all of the states were struggling with or learning from. So I think in that way, focusing it around the systems level pieces was helpful. But you're right, and it, because the content areas were so different, it may not have been the best way to structure it. But for the systems level pieces, it was. We did receive good feedback on our learning from other states on communication and partnership building.
Time for one more question.
Okay.
So did you have any shared measures? I'm just thinking again of that learning collaborative piece. Were there any shared measures at all, or were they just really state-specific?
They were pretty state-specific because each state was in such a different space at the beginning and the end. It was more of just state-specific measures of improvement, measures of success.